come to order. It's 3:20 on April 12th. Members present are Representative Chenault, Representative Thompson, Representative Sadler, Representative Johnson, Representative Miller, Representative Holmes, and myself, Chair Olson. We have a quorum. We've got everybody in the room. Today, the only item on the calendar is Senate Bill 23. Yesterday, we took public testimony and presented a CS. Today, we'll finish public testimony and discuss the CS. And do we have anybody online?
Yes.
Or anybody new? Questions? And is there anybody in the room that would care to testify that hasn't yet? Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I believe we didn't get to you yesterday. And thank you for coming back again. And please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I'm Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959. Included in your packet is a letter of support, so I am not going to bore anybody with a long prepared statement. I think there's been absolutely wonderful testimony all in support of this particular piece of legislation. I can testify to the fact that firsthand we've seen a significant increase in employment in this particular industry as a result of the passage, almost immediate passage of Senate Bill 230 here a couple years ago. So we're very excited about the proposed extension. We look forward to whatever additional training. We found through the process that some of the classifications out there and the jobs that were required, there weren't a lot of people within the state that had those particular skills. So those within the state that are looking at expanding that particular industry, I think, is a plus. From a Teamster perspective, anything on wheels that deals with the movie industry, we were behind. So anyway, I want to thank the senator for proposing this particular piece of legislation, the chairman and the committee for hopefully passing the bill out today. Thank you.
Any questions for Barb? Thanks again. Anybody else in the room that would care to testify? I might add we have Joanna Bales online again. And Brandy Daly, who testified a couple days ago, is online for questions. Anybody have any questions for Joanna? And we've got at least one more person in the room. Juanetta Ayers. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Juanetta Ayers. I'm the Director for the Division of Economic Development. I just wanted to reiterate that the department has vetted some of the changes that are in the current committee substitute and provided comment on those, and am available to answer any questions with regard to the film office.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? You got offline? Curtis, are you going to testify?
I'll defer to one out of the
Anybody else in the room? Nobody else online? With that, we'll close out public testimony. Let's see. And for starters, I'll remove my objection to the CS. Is there any further objection to adopting the CS?
Version G.
G is in gold. So we're all on the same page.
Can I get a copy of it?
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. And under committee questions, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Joanne, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. In reference to the letter that the committee received today, April 12, 2011, from Bruce Tangeman, are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Can you speak to that for just a moment, please, or as long as you'd like?
Sure.
Yes, I can. For the record, my name is Joanna Bales. I'm the acting director of the Tax Division. And through the chair, Representative Johnson. Basically, the letter that we gave to the committee deals with just some concerns we have with the CES that allows the film credit to be applied to all the other tax types that are administered by the Department of Revenue. We're just concerned there could be some unintended consequences that might affect revenue sharing, dedicated funds, specifically the school fund within where the cigarette tax currently goes, or at least a large portion of the cigarette tax goes, and some other programs where revenue from specific tax programs have been identified to fund different activities within the state. So that's just one of our concerns, to make sure that the committee understands that opening it up to all those tax types, there could be some unintended consequences.
Mr. Chairman, if someone is, and we'll just use your tax, your cigarette tax, someone could actually buy the tax credits and then not put money into the education fund as required under the tax laws?
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I think that's one of our questions, as far as someone who owes cigarette tax could purchase a film tax credit and reduce their cigarette tax liability, and a portion of that goes to the school fund, and the remaining amount goes to the general fund. And so, I mean, how we divvy that up, would any of that reduction because of the film credit affect what goes to the school fund if that taxpayer actually reduced their entire liability for a film credit? We would suspect that probably it would affect what went into the school fund and also the general fund. So those are just some of the questions. And there are questions like that in several of our programs. The cruise ship tax is another example of that. Currently, we revenue share to the first seven ports of call now, and so the remaining amount that goes to the commercial passenger vessel tax account is supposed to be used for harbor improvements and things like that to facilitate cruise ship tourism and passengers that come to Alaska. If someone used a credit, we would still be able to revenue share, because the revenue share is not based on the amount of revenue. It's based on $5 per port of call. But there might not be any remaining amount of revenue to go to the commercial passenger vessel tax account. These are just, like I said, I mean, if you're okay with that, I mean, but we wanted to identify that those are some of the consequences of opening this up to all tax types.
Thank you, Mr. Is there any way you can provide the committee with a list of those dedicated funds that might be affected? And would the gambling tax, cruise gambling tax, also be in the same boat?
Yes, through the chair, it would also be affected as well, because someone could purchase the film credit, and depending upon how much of the gambling tax they're responsible for, or even if all of the gambling taxpayers purchased the credits and utilized all of them, then there would be no revenue from that tax that would go into that specific account. In addition to specific sub-accounts within the general fund, there are also programs. For instance, 50% of the alcoholic beverage tax goes to the Department of Health and Social Services to fund alcohol cessation programs. So that program itself could see less revenue for the year unless, you know, a specific additional appropriation was made. So the list is actually fairly long. There are actually very few of our taxes where 100% of what we collect goes to the general fund.
You know, if I could interject at this point in time, one of the reasons we started a few minutes late is that we have a number of amendments that we received just back in this afternoon. We were going over them up until a few minutes ago. They're going to be introduced to the committee in a few minutes, and one of them specifically addresses that issue. Any other committee members that may have amendments, if you could get them to Conrad and I by 8 o'clock tonight so we can get them out to the committee. It's my intention to bring the bill up for a vote tomorrow as amended and hopefully send it on its way. But Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joanna, would that not also apply to fuel tax that we currently pay 8 cents on unleaded and whatever it is on aviation and diesel fuel?
Yeah, through the chair, Speaker Chenault, you're correct. All of our fuel tax goes into separate sub-accounts of the general fund. I mean, the aviation tax goes to the aviation fuel account, and that's shared with local municipalities that own or operate airports. The same would be for the highway fuel. That goes into the special highway use account. So, yes, the motor fuel tax would be the same.
Okay, so your concern would be that by setting this up to run through the Title 43, that we could be short funding our municipalities and on airports and road projects just on the fuel tax itself, not including all the other taxes, all the other different dedicated taxes that we have.
Yeah, through the chair, that's just a concern that you probably should look at each of the tax types just to ensure that historical level of funding for programs, if you want to maintain that, you would have to have some provisions to ensure that you've done that.
Right. And we could always backfill that account that we take this money out of. We could always backfill it with GF funds if we had excess GF funds, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Do you know what, how much oil we'll be pushing through the TAPS pipeline and how much income we'll have in 10 years when this bill expires?
Through the chair, I don't have any projections at my fingertips for that, no.
Thanks, Joanna. Just a loaded question. I understand.
If you could have that just by tomorrow morning, it'd be appreciated.
Yeah, everyone.
Thanks, Joanna.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
I'd like to acknowledge that we've been joined by Representative Chris Tuck, and we do have an open seat or two at the table if you'd like to join us. And please take the bagel.
Thank you, Steve.
I think at this point in time, we do have several amendments that recently came in, and I'd like to have them read across and explained by Conrad Jackson, my staff, and we won't be bringing him up until tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. But and I believe we'll have several more that'll be turned in by late tonight. I would ask the committee's indulgence to waive the 24-hour rule. We'll get them out to you as soon as we get them in, and I'd like to bring all of them up tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon and for a vote, and then bring the bill up. Mr. Jackson.
I'm taking it easy, but I guess he's on.
Certainly. And we have Conrad Jackson, staff to the Labor and Commerce Committee, reviewing the first four amendments.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Olson. And as Ms. Bales pointed out, after we, or the committee brought up version G, the CS, there were a couple of issues that we discovered and a couple of issues that were pointed out to us. These four amendments attempt to address some of those, and I'll start with amendment G.1. This amendment makes a change on page 6, line 10, following the word accountant. The intent here was to make sure that the CPAs that are used to audit the program and the applications are actually licensed to do business in the state of Alaska. G2, which makes a change on page 7, is an attempt to limit some of the above-the-line deductibility of the above-the-line expenses and expenditures. It is a stepped process that does not hit full-blown immediately. It would start in 2013, change in 2016, and then change again in 2018. Again, this was an attempt to slow down some of the deductions for the expenditures for above-the-line costs in a production. G3 makes a change, if you recall, on page, let me find the right page here. On page 7, line 29 and 30 of version G, we've made there's a change to the look back period from 1 year to 6 years, which is currently in statute, the general statute of limitations for a look back period for any recovery of funds. When we did that, we inadvertently missed a change that needed to be plugged in on page 8, changing 2024 to 2029. So we have 6 years from the sunset of the program. And Amendment G4 is very specific to Department of Revenue and Ms. Bale's comment and concern. The attempt with the change to the bill to expand the saleability to all who have a tax liability under Title 43 was a bit of a reach, and after some discussion and conversations with Department of Revenue, this Amendment G4 makes a change to that. It scales it back somewhat. It is based on the current Alaska Education Tax Credit Program and the statutes that you see listed on page 3 or line 3 of this amendment. And they are not going to be in order as they're listed here, but I will just list the specific taxes the taxpayers that have this liability. The tax credits, the film production tax credits, would be of value to them. It is the Alaska Corporate Income Tax, the Fisheries Business Tax, the Fishery Resource Landing Tax, the Insurance Premium Tax, or Title Insurance Premium Tax, the Mining License Tax, Oil and Gas Production and Transportation Tax, and the Oil and Gas Property Tax. Again, the intent was to make these credits more saleable and therefore more valuable, and as the intent of the bill is to bring productions to Alaska, the value of those credits is of importance. And that's the end of the amendments that I have at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Caught me eating. Any questions for Mr. Jackson? And again, we will be bringing these amendments up tomorrow along with any amendments coming before 8 o'clock tonight. And any questions for the administration on these amendments? Joanna, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Any comments or...
Mr. Chairman, the only, I can't speak to the insurance change to their tax and to how that works because I don't know where that tax is deposited. The corporate, the oil and gas production and property taxes, as well as the mining, to my knowledge, all go to the general fund. I don't see any problems with those. The fishery resource and landing tax, the way that those are shared, there is a potential that utilization of the film credit could reduce sharing to it actually would, based on this amendment, it would reduce revenue sharing to those municipalities as well. I mean, currently there are some other credits that you can take against the fisheries business and landing tax, but there's specific language in those statutes to say that revenue sharing is done before the credits are taken, so you'd have to have similar language to ensure that revenue sharing with municipalities wasn't affected if you do, if it's opened up to the film credit as well.
Can you get us written comments on that by tomorrow?
Yes, I can.
I can get them out to the committee first thing tomorrow morning. Any further comments on it?
Can I ask a question?
Certainly. Representative Johnson.
Thanks, Joanne. You know, the reason you buy these taxes is you buy them at a certain percentage on the dollar. Do we know what the market is on that, or are we selling at 10 cents on the dollar, 90 cents on the dollar? Do we have a feel for that yet? Do we have any way of tracking that, or is that just up in the air?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Johnson, we aren't privy to that transactional that took place between the person who buys it and the person who sells it. We're only asked to transfer the credit at its face value.
So, in fact, someone could be buying at 10 cents on the dollar for quick cash and substantially reduce the taxes.
Through the chair, Representative Johnson, I mean, they could buy it for 10 cents on the dollar, but that doesn't affect the face value of the credit and what can be applied against your tax liability. So if we issue a credit for $1 million and it's sold for $100,000, we still give a $1 million credit.
And that was my point. Thank you.
Representative Holmes. Representative Chenault.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. That was kind of along the lines that I was looking at. A few years ago when we passed the piece of law legislation dealing with tax credits, did we not put in a stipulation that had to be bought back for a certain amount in order to keep...
I think that was the arms
keep
board.
That bidding, yeah, maybe it was for the arms board.
Yeah, I think it was
I'll look into it. I was kind of thinking the same thing that the other committee member was. But thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions for Ms. Bales? Thanks again.
You're welcome.
I see one person in the room that would like to speak. Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Winnetta Ayers, Director for the Division of Economic Development. I could say, just with reference to Representative Johnson's question, anecdotally we're hearing in the range of 75% to 80% as a low end, and obviously someone who's holding that tax credit certificate has an incentive to try and sell it for the highest price that they possibly can. But also to the time cost of money weighs in on that, and they're going to decide what the right holding time versus the right price for that is. But anecdotally, we're hearing 75% to 80% would probably be the normal range for those. And there is not a mechanism for us to track that at this point. But that's
willing buyer, willing seller.
Right, exactly. Also, with regard to Amendment 2, we would still want some time to digest this. We understand the committee's desire to address a limitation to what is characterized as above-the-line expenses within film production and how the credit would apply to that. We would express at this time a concern about going from 100% to 15%. And the possible impact that would have on not only productions that are currently queued up, but the future viability of the program. And also, as the industry matures, thinking about the impact of that might have with the viability for example, Alaskan scriptwriters who might be compensated under these terms. These kinds of terms would be more likely to benefit a production that didn't have on-screen talent, that relied probably largely on either scenic or digital production as opposed to on-camera talent and the other kinds of feature film production that we would hope to attract here because they have the spinoff economic activity that benefits Alaskan businesses.
Well, the sooner you can get your comments in writing, the sooner we can get them out to the committee.
Thank you.
But it is my intent to do something with this bill tomorrow, which will involve bringing it up for a vote. So the more help we can get, be appreciated.
All right.
Anybody else in the room that would care to comment on the amendments? I don't believe it. Katie, please join us. I think this is
Mr.
the first,
Chairman,
isn't it?
Committee members. I'm Kate Tessar. I'm the Director of Business Development for Evergreen Films, and I just did want to make one comment on the tax credits. We are currently in negotiations with tax credits with parties, and are looking at between 85 and 90 cents, and that is much more in the range of what we have heard the tax credits have been selling for. Obviously, it's a commodity not to be given away lightly by the people that own the tax credit, which would be the production company. So you're obviously negotiating for the highest rate possible, not the lowest rate. So just want to let you know that I don't think we're going to have a situation where we're going to be selling $1 million worth of tax credits for $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000 or $700,000. It's just not in our best interest. The hopes is that as these become more available and more popular, the price is going to be driven up, because the whole point is to provide money to the productions to come to Alaska. That's the entire basis of having the film incentive. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So you're saying it's working?
We think it's working, yeah. But I'm just saying that the lower rates that are being talked about, that's not anything that we are interested in selling our credits for. If we aren't getting a rate that we want from one buyer, we're going to another buyer. So that's the whole point of the tax credits.
Do you think Amendment Number 4, if it becomes a part of the bill, would help you get higher?
The Amendment Number 4? Mr. Chairman, we definitely support the language that mirrors the education credits. And I share the concerns that Joanna had discussed about the impacts on the revenue sharing. I had previous conversations with revenue, and I think there's some discussion as to what really impacts the communities, because it's not our intention to impact any of the communities adversely. So I would recommend any language that she recommends to make sure that revenue sharing is not touched, because that was our understanding, that with the education language, it's been in statute, I want to say, for 25 years or something, and has worked and has never impacted the communities before. So it was definitely, I think, our intention to have language that expands the tax credits for these companies who are doing business in Alaska, but certainly not to impact the communities in any way.
And I would suspect we'll have written testimony if it appears that that's the case.
If that's your desire, certainly, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
Pat Davidson, any comments? With that, I think we're going to adjourn at 5 minutes to 5, and tomorrow afternoon, I hope we do something with this bill.
3:15 or 4:15?
3:15, isn't it? Talk to him afterwards.